Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back with you this morning after so many years. What have you got there, Leon? Is that a recording? You're recording me?
Live streaming to America.
Live stream to America, which is what you do now, yeah, along with all the other good things that you've got going on since the old guy left, which is very nice to see. It's lovely to see so many old faces and what? And so many new faces as well. It's great to be back. And it's a real privilege to be here. Shall we just pray before I try to look at these readings? Dear Father, thank you so much for the blessing that you are to us and for this place and for all the people here that make up St. Paul's. We pray that you will bless us now and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just by a little bit way of an introduction, for those of you who don't know me, my name is John Money. I used to be the vicar here in the good old days, all those years ago. It's a real thrill to be back. And it was a real thrill when Leon asked me to come and preach here. What wasn't a thrill was that he gave me the most difficult chapter in the Bible to preach on, Daniel 11. Now, have any of you read Daniel 11 recently? Forefront of your minds, so you're nodding. How would you approach preaching on Daniel 11? Probably by suggesting that we use the lectionary readings, which is what I've done. So these are the lectionary readings in the Church of England, which all the Church of England churches who follow the lectionary all over the world are following. So they're not just things I've sucked out of my thumb or prepared specifically. They're the lectionary readings for today. And I left here 5 years ago, just over 5 years ago, to join the Navy. And in the Navy, I worked in the Navy, in the Blue Navy, on ships. And I'm currently working with Royal Marines in Bickley. I had a short time at Stonehouse, just up the road. So I've sort of kept that link from when I was here before and got to know Royal Marines for the first time, which I didn't really know what they were. And I've kept that link by continuing to work with them now. So let's look, what I'm going to do is just work through Philippians and talk through the reading, and hopefully the Lord will have something to say to us through it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this: I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. And strangely enough, that is absolutely true. Obviously, for Paul in prison, thinking back for his Philippians, who he brought the gospel to. But it's true for me as well, because I had a fantastic time here for the 7 or 8 years that I was here at St. Paul's. And every time I think of you, I thank God for you. And thank God for the group of people here who worship Jesus and are a witnessing and worshiping community in this place in Stonehouse. I thank God for the warm welcome that we had when we got here in 2006, for the way that we worked together, and for the things that we did in the community. And it is such a thrill to be back here and see how those things that we sort of started together have been built on and have grown and are flourishing. So thank you very much for asking me back here. Verse 5 says this: I thank God for you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. Because that's the one thing that binds us together, all of us who believe, is this gospel message. And the gospel is what it's all about. I'll talk a little bit more later about the gospel when we move on to the Luke reading. But it's worth remembering that what we have as a church is not our lovely buildings, which of course we have here. It's not our warm and friendly atmosphere, which of course you have here even more. Or the great coffee, which I'm sure is still served in the back. And do we have coffee here for afterwards? Instant, good instant coffee. That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear you've carried that on from my day. If I've not had a chance to catch up with you before the service, please stay around afterwards. I'll be staying here till closing time, till checking out time, to have a chat. It's not all those things that we have as a church, although we have those things. What we do have is the gospel. And the gospel is the game changer. Verse 6 says this: I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. It's important to remember that before I came here, we had Martin. When I left, we have Leon. You've had others before, and you'll have others in the future that will come and be vicars here and lead the congregation. But the important thing is not the leader who comes here to join in with the congregation. The important thing is Jesus. As it says in verse 6, for I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. That one is Jesus himself. And he is the one who does the work here at St. Paul's. And he is the one who works in our hearts and changes us. And we'll see later on how. Verse 7 says this: it is right for me to think of you in this way, to think about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. This is obviously where the reading diverts from my experience with you, because I'm not in prison at the moment. I'm very much a free man, as they say. But it's worth remembering that the work of the gospel is actually difficult. And as we follow Christ's calling in preaching his gospel in the world, sometimes that might mean that we have extra difficult lives. And Paul writes this letter from prison because of his proclaiming of the gospel. And we, as we go about proclaiming that gospel, will find that we come up against quite a lot of opposition sometimes. And so that's why it's very important for all of us to pray for each other. And I really do feel your prayers, and thank you for your prayers. And I promise you that we, Karen and I, pray very much for you regularly and pray for your work here. I pray for Leon, but pray for all of those of you who we know and those who we don't know. The work of the gospel can be dangerous, it can be difficult, and life can be dangerous. As I do my job with the military, it can be dangerous in certain ways, but also you can find that it's dangerous as well as you try to preach the gospel out in society in different ways. By the way, Karen is not here today. She very much would love to be here today. Karen, as some of you may know, had cancer a few years ago. She's completely clear of her cancer now. Although she would love to come and be here with you, she does actually have one or two issues in sort of coming out in public. So that's why she's not here at the moment. But she's thinking of you and had a wonderful time when she was part of the congregation here at St. Paul's. Let's move on. Verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. If we're honest sometimes, the church has not always had love overflowing. And that is often because we don't have knowledge and full insight. And here Paul commends his Philippians and encourages them to have knowledge and full insight so that their love might overflow. If we're honest sometimes in the church, if we think how we've behaved, we've colluded with people who are not very nice. We've colluded with racists. We've colluded with people who are, in the real meaning of the word, homophobic. We've colluded with people who, because they seem to sort of sit with the church's thinking, we've colluded with them, and in so doing, not allowed our love to overflow. And that has come, I believe, because we've not fully and properly understood the Bible. It's important for us as Christians to take it seriously. And that's the one thing I think that I learned an awful lot from my time here I was a Christian for many years before I became a vicar, and then went to college at Wycliffe, and that was where it sort of started. But it really came to fruition here in my time at St. Paul's and in the St. Andrew's team, when I got a really good understanding of how to approach the Bible and how to understand it, and how that understanding of it helps us to show love and helps us to live the gospel message. And so, along with Paul, as he encourages his Philippians, I want to encourage you and encourage myself to continue to understand and know this wonderful gift that we've been given, that reveals God to us and reveals so much about Him, to understand it and know it better so that our love can overflow. And that's one of the things that I think that St. Paul's showed me enormously is how much love there is here in this congregation. I think when I arrived here, very, very quickly after arriving here, I realized that this love that this congregation had for each other wasn't sort of stuck inside these walls, but wanted to reach out and wanted to proclaim the news to the community it was in. And I think it was Phyllis who grabbed me on that first sort of Sunday and told me about this event that we did on November the 5th, and how we were going to have hot dogs and everything for the community. And when we did that, when we sort of reached out, the community came in their droves. Do you still do that? Do you still do the what's that? I know there's so many other things that you do. There's, you know, these things sometimes are for a time, but it was the sentiment and the desire that the congregation had here. And so I'd like to just continue to encourage you to carry on in that way. Because, let me see, how am I doing? Moving to verse 11, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Sorry, I might have missed something out there. Let me read verse 10 and 11. I'll just read from verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The harvest of righteousness is what everything is working towards. So I did say earlier that we were going to talk a little bit more about the gospel. And if we go back to Luke chapter 3, our reading for today reminds us that we are in the season of Advent. And in the season of Advent, we look forward to the day of Christ, it says in Philippians. And going back 2,000 years, there was this voice that was crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In those days they were waiting for Jesus to come and save them. The Jewish people were waiting. And of course there was this voice in the wilderness, John the Baptist, calling people to repent. And today we wait too. And that's what the season of Advent is about, waiting for Christ to come again, for the day of Christ where everything will come to completion. In those days they were waiting to be saved. Today some of us are waiting to be saved, but we can be saved now through faith in Christ. And in fact that is the one thing that unites all Christians. The first thing is, I wonder if I went around and asked you, what do you think unites all Christians? Well, the first thing is this. The fact that we recognize we need to be saved. There are so many other philosophies out there and thoughts that have lots of good things that can give us certain elements of wisdom. But they're not the best thing, because they often forget the fact that we need saving. But more than recognizing that we need saving, the gospel tells us that good news that can save us. And that good news is Jesus. Jesus, God Himself, come to reconcile us to God and save us. And so that gospel message that we have in this world that needs saving is that not only do we recognize we need saving, but the gospel message is that we know the one that can save us. And right here in this building, as we meet to know Jesus, as we meet in our homes to study the Bible and share a meal together, those are the places where this truth about Jesus can be found. And we have it. We have it for the world. That is the gift that we have. That is the love that overflows to the world outside. And it can only overflow to the world outside if it overflows within these walls. But it's good that we have that focus on the outside. And so, as I bring this talk to a close, the message that Paul had for the Philippians as he thanked God for them is the same that each of us have for the others of us that love Jesus. We pray that we might grow in knowledge of insight of the Bible and of God, so that through understanding Him, our love might overflow to those outside. So that our love might overflow with that gospel message that tells of Jesus who comes to make sense of the world we live in. That Jesus who comes to tell us the point of our existence. And Jesus who comes to save us from the destination that we would head to without Him. And that is the message this Christmas, as we wait for Jesus to come, as we wait for the second coming, where the salvation that He has already brought us comes to completion, as we spread that message to all of those outside. So as we think about these things, shall I close with us, close for us with a prayer? Dear Father, we thank You for the gift that You've given us this Christmas. We thank You that as we think about Jesus, we know that He comes to give us the answers for this world that we live in. We pray that You will help us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Your words, that we may know Him better. And we pray that You will help us so that our love will overflow, both in this building and to those outside. Help us to carry that gospel message for all of those who recognize they need to be saved, that Jesus is the one who can save them. In His name we pray. Amen.